This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
You might assume we're both good at presenting to a live audience because of this podcast. But at the end of the day, when we record, it really feels like we're just talking to one another. Presenting information in person in a formal setting to a large audience is something that still makes us really nervous. To prepare for a live speaking event we're hosting together, we turned to our masterclass subscription to not only refine our presentation skills, but to build our confidence in a different kind of public speaking capacity. Between Robin Roberts, Hillary Clinton, and Kevin Hart's expertise, our confidence skyrocketed. This year, learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving. Masterclass helps you actually do it. Masterclass offers over 180 world-class instructors. So whether you want to master negotiate with Chris Voss, think like a boss with Martha Stewart, or plan your dream wedding with celebrity event planner Mindy Wise, Masterclass has you covered. There are over 200 classes to pick from, with new classes added every month, like our latest aha moments from Robin Roberts' Effective and Authentic Communication class that we watched before our event presentation. She taught us how to establish a genuine connection with the audience from the start. I'll always be a little nervous before presenting, but Masterclass prepared us in a way that dialed my nerves down and gave me tools to ground myself. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 50% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Welcome back to another episode of Shrink Chicks.
Take a seat on our virtual therapy couch and get ready to learn all about, well, you.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're both licensed marriage and family therapists and relationship experts. We're the owners and founders of The Therapy Group, a nationwide psychotherapy practice with down-to-earth therapists just like us.
Your session is starting, so get ready to know yourself and grow yourself.
Hi, Jen.
Hi, Em.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you, babe? How are you?
We're like, it's funny to go from, we're like in this meeting dealing with health insurance and 401k and all this stuff. And it's like, let's go report a podcast.
We wear too many hats.
I don't understand insurance.
How many hats can one person wear, you know?
I don't know. I'm definitely running out. I've got a lot of bald spots, I think, at this point from the coverage.
Yeah, like way too much. Too many hats. Like, truly. We should try that one day, see how many hats we can put on our head just as like a physical manifestation of what we do. What do you think? What do you think about that?
We were talking about this. So like I have, Nikki really wants me to do this reel. You weren't in the office the other day when we were talking about this. Nikki really wants me to do this reel because like I am super anti get ready with me videos.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm sorry. I don't fucking get them. I think they're stupid. I don't want to get ready with you. I don't want you getting ready with me. I don't fucking understand this trend, right? I understand that it's big. And I was saying, Nick, I was like, yeah, like if I had a get ready with me video, it'd be like me like plucking chin hairs and then me screaming at the dogs and then me like answering a phone call from you and then like yelling at Millie that Aaron's supposed to like be like watching her.
That's honestly, I really think you should do that.
And Nikki was like, that's what the reel should be. And I was like, I'm not going to do that.
It'd be so funny though. Like it would be so funny. Mine would just be putting like mounds of dry shampoo in my hair.
Oh, that was the other one. I was like, mounds. I have shit ton of dry shampoo. My hair looks like this. Somebody explain it to me.
I can't.
I know. Why are we getting ready together?
I'm not sure. I couldn't tell you because I also don't want to get ready with anyone else.
Because when I'm getting ready, I'm watching really bad TV on my phone.
Me too.
Right?
Always.
Like the worst acting you've ever seen is what I'm watching.
It distracts me because I honestly hate getting ready.
I do too, kind of. So maybe that's the thing. Maybe if we embrace the get ready with me culture, we'd enjoy it more.
Maybe if we enjoyed getting ready.
Maybe you're present.
Exactly. Mm. Maybe if we enjoyed getting ready. I hate getting ready.
Maybe this is an us problem.
I think it might be.
Maybe we're being judgmental, but maybe this is an us problem.
Wow. It's beautiful. No, we figured this out.
I know. We really figured this out. Well, once again, it's our fault.
but
Nikki wrote in.
What? Yes. As I was going to say, we have a listener question. Listener Nikki. Listener Nikki said, what was your first screen name and was it as cringy as mine? Yes.
Okay. Yeah. What was yours? Mine's bad.
Mine's really bad too.
What's yours?
My first one was Puppy 45678.
Is yours as bad as that?
Okay. So my first original one was Fairy Wings 25.
I'm sorry, what? What is that?
Fairy Wings 25.
Oh, Fairy Wings. Fairy Wings.
Oh. Fairy Wings 25. And then very quickly, this one's really funny. Very quickly, I moved to Dream Sweetie. Except for the thing is that I've never been much of a speller. And so it actually just said Dream Sweaty. I don't remember the numbers,
I
though.
I can't believe you never told me this before. You had a screen name that you wanted to be Dream Sweetie, and it was Dream Sweaty.
Spelling has never been my strong suit. This morning, I was texting Natalia, one of our therapists, and I'm like, can you grab the box and pull the scones out? But I meant sconces. Right. Honestly. She's like, what?
Scones would have been better.
Yeah, sorry. But yeah, so it was Dream Sweaty.
I don't remember the numbers. I love that. Were you sweaty? Were you sweaty in your dreams when you made it? Maybe it was like,
you know, what's funny is I am a night sweater.
There it is.
I'm a nasty bitch. Like, I wake up in the morning and nothing's good here.
So maybe you had like this kind of like foreshadowing of.
I don't think I was that sweaty when I was 12 years old.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe you knew in the future and you were preparing your adult self, which is just impressive, I think.
I guess.
I was going to tell you my other one, but I don't think I can top Dream
Sweaty. Wait, what is it?
It was Peanut Butter 37.
And that's cute.
It's cute, right? It got a little cuter than Puppy 45678.
But I remember, like, okay, there was this girl in my grade who was like, you know, like one of those girls that always hung out with her brother's friends. So she was like kind of really cool because she like knew things, right? So I remember when Facebook came out, right? So I was like big into MySpace and LiveJournal. And then Facebook came out and I like assumed it was supposed to be the same thing. And do you remember with MySpace, you didn't usually use your name. You usually use like a username. Yeah. And so I remember I got a Facebook and I used my same username and she messaged me and was like, just so you know, it's supposed to be your name and like it's pretty uncool to do the username. And I was like, oh, yeah. I was just seeing it out. Like,
I don't remember that at all. For some reason, I blocked out MySpace.
Oh, I feel like I was really good at MySpace.
Yeah, I don't remember it. And I don't – LiveJournal, you mean like a Zenga, right? That was like the same thing?
Oh, I had a big Zenga too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never did that. Yeah. You know, I kept all of my thoughts and feelings to myself as per usual.
And obviously I projected mine onto the internet. I remember one time, like, I had, like, my AIM away message, and it was, like, writing on my online journal, be right back. And some guy messaged me and was, like, fucking stupid. And I was, like, oh, what? Thought I was cool.
People are.
I obviously wrote that because I thought it was a cool thing to do.
I still think it is.
Well, so speaking of people that get upset by, I talk about a lack of differentiation. Me as a child. Which I would assume most children have very little differentiation, yes. Except for maybe you. You were not a normal child, but for the most part, you have differentiation. And we're going to talk today about differentiation. We've used this word a bunch. People are always like, what exactly does this word mean? And I understand this concept. So we want to do an entire episode about the concept of differentiation.
This first question is perfect because it drives us into what differentiation is. Someone said, my therapist just brought up this term. Can you explain it in a digestible way that you usually do? Absolutely. Happy to do so. differentiation is about being able to separate our thoughts and feelings from other people. So individuals with a higher level of differentiation, they're better able to regulate their emotions, be more objective, and demonstrate flexibility in their behavior. And so, you know, we've talked about this in different ways in different episodes where we talk about kind of separating ourselves from other people's emotions, saying that you're not responsible for other people's emotions. And typically levels of differentiation get passed down generations, right? So like if our parents have a lower level of differentiation, then we sometimes develop a lower level of differentiation. And with that is a term called fusion, right? If we're more fused with someone else, we feel responsible for their emotions. We feel like we have to take care of their emotions. Their emotions feel like our emotions. It's hard to separate ourselves from other people. But I thought something that was really interesting, I found questions that can help you determine whether you are differentiated or not. This is from choosingtherapy.com. So I'm going to read some questions. You can listen to them. And you know, you can give yourself a yes, no answer. It will help you determine whether you are more differentiated or not. Once again, it's a spectrum. It's not just like a yes or no, you're differentiated or not differentiated. So it's a spectrum. Some of these questions are, do you always see your partner as the problem? Do you mostly work on letting go of problems rather than solving them? Do you let feelings fester until they explode? I was like, faster? Do you feel pulled to match your partner's emotional state, such as when they're in anger, crisis, or sadness? Do you conceal how you really feel about things? Do you say what you know others want to hear? Do you talk to your friends about your relationship problems instead of your partner? Do you have affairs? Do you lose yourself in your partner? Do you agree to things you have no interest in doing? Do you demand directly or indirectly compliments and praise? Do you seek to control others instead of controlling yourself? Do you concern yourself with the needs of others but disregard your own? If you are someone who is more differentiated, you are going to answer no to a lot of these questions, right? And you might be kind of like on the cusp. Sometimes I do this, sometimes I don't do this.
Yeah.
It gives you a good starting point to figure out like how differentiated am I and where do I want to work on this?
Anyone else feeling like the mental load of making dinner, the planning, the shopping, the prep, figuring out the timing? It's a little heavy to carry, huh? Same. That's why I am so grateful for Hungry Root. The food quality, simple recipes, true tastiness, and delivery right to my door is truly a game changer. When getting started, you take a fun, short quiz and Hungry Root will get to know you, what you like to eat, and more. Then they'll build you a personalized cart with all your grocery needs for the week and give you delicious recipe recommendations to put those groceries to use. So you can sit back, relax, and offload the many steps of meal planning. Each order is fully customizable so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high-quality meat and seafood, healthy snacks, smoothies, sweets, ready meals, kids' snacks and meals, vitamins, supplements, much more. My favorite item from my latest box was the honey citrus chopped salad, lemon pepper chicken, and the four cheese tortellini. You gotta try it for yourself. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's gotta taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you.
I am thrilled that the weather is finally warming up here in Philly. I went to switch out my closet the other day from my fall winter wear to my spring summer wear and noticed that I very much needed a refresh. So thank goodness for Quince that allows me to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Now I have a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. I refresh my closet with the high-waisted linen shorts that come in multiple colors and patterns, the comfiest cotton tees, and my latest favorite, the smocked mini dress. And don't miss out on their accessories. Quince has the coolest sunglasses and 14 karat gold jewelry to complete any look. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
Somebody had asked, then, is differentiation the opposite of enmeshment and codependency? We think about differentiation, that would be like emotional cutoff, would probably be like the opposite of enmeshment and codependency, would be like complete cutoff. Differentiation is the beautiful, healthy medium, right? So if we're looking at a spectrum, one's going to be enmeshment, fusion, the other one's going to be emotional cutoff and avoidance. And in between, the very nice one is differentiation. Okay, can I ask you about those questions?
Of course you can.
Which ones did you answer?
Still. I had one when I was reading it. I just have to find it. Do you concern yourself with the needs of others but disregard your own? 1,000,000.
Sound like you at all.
Do you let feelings fester until they explode? Also sounds like me. Do you conceal how you really feel about things?
The one I'll say I don't do is that if someone else is like in a panicked, heightened state, I get super fucking calm.
Yeah.
I do not match someone else's. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm in control now, baby.
Yeah, interesting.
But that's part of my savior complex.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Does that connect to, do you concern yourself with the needs of others but disregard your own? Like, does that piece of it balance it out a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. That one's hard because, like, that's like motherhood.
Right.
So, yeah, that's an interesting one.
It is.
But yeah, like, I totally have an issue with fester emotions. I totally have an issue of, saying yes to shit you don't want to do. I'm like, I'd love to do that.
I saw you raise your hand when I said that one.
Like, sure. Absolutely. Okay. So somebody wrote in, why isn't this talked about more? I'm in my mid-30s, only now realizing how to separate myself from my family of origin. I think this is talked about, but I think that when you are highly involved in your own family, this is the concept, once again, of unconscious contracts and unspoken rules in our family of origin, right? So the thing is, even if other people are saying this, we have all this other, like, cultural discord around, like, blood is thicker than water and loyalty over everything and family above all. And there's like all these fucking sayings that you probably walk into like a Home Goods and they're on mugs and shit. That's how you know something's problematic.
100%. Actually, I'm sorry to jump in, but we were cleaning out our house and Bill got this like saying thing that said, it is what it is. And it was definitely like one of those things from Home Goods. And I was like, can we please throw this out immediately?
And what did he say?
It took him a little bit, but we threw it out.
Yeah, he let it out. What wasn't what it wasn't. Okay. So I think any of these things. So I think that when you have these massively loud ideas and rules and unconscious contracts, it's hard to see other stuff, even if other people are saying it.
I think that's so true. I also believe that sometimes people look at the idea of fusion and like not being differentiated as closeness, right? Like, because, you know, my parent is upset about this, I must also be upset about this and vice versa, mm-hmm. right? Like that it's almost seen as this level of like, we're so tight. We all feel the same emotions. And so it's almost romanticized in a way, this level of fusion. And so especially if it's been being it passed down generations that like, oh, we're such a close-knit family. Like, yeah, we fight big and we like have a lot of emotions. And so it's not talked about because fusion is also romanticized. But with that fusion comes a lot of emotion. It comes the inability to separate your own emotions from other people's emotions. And you take that low level of differentiation and you bring it into your other relationships. The lack of boundaries comes up, you know, your reactivity comes up, your inability to kind of think through things. But I think that that's another piece of it. And we hear that all the time. People will say, oh, my family's so close. And then you hear that closeness actually means this level of fusion. Real closeness, real intimacy has boundaries involved, right? It has the ability to separate myself, my emotions from you and your emotions, and to be able to communicate through that. And it doesn't necessarily mean we have to agree. It means we can both hold on to ourselves enough to be able to talk through things in a way that feels productive.
Yeah. It's funny because I was thinking as you were talking about this, I'm also getting this idea is like it's almost seen as like callous to not be like, if someone's struggling and you're fine with it, it's like, I think there's like this idea that like that makes you callous or cold. Right. And I also think there's a part about like, we as women have been taught, God forbid you're callous and cold. God forbid you're a bitch. And so there's this idea about what that looks like. And once in that goes back to what Sharma is like, it's romanticized.
Yeah, it's romanticized. And I, you know, it's kind of like the concept of like when someone's drowning, right? You're not supposed to like swim over to them. You're supposed to like throw them a lifesaver.
Yeah.
And the reason why you're not supposed to swim over is because they'll, you know, jump on you and pull you down with them. And so you can think about that as differentiation. Fusion is I'm swimming over to you and you're going to pull me down with you in your emotion. But a person, you know, a closeness is coming from this kind of boundary level of like, I can hold on to myself when you're struggling with something. I can take care of myself when you're struggling with something so that I can reach out to you and give you support. But the support is not, I'm going to be in the depths of the emotion with you, right? It's actually more helpful to have someone who's not in the thick of it with you, who can really kind of be a strong support, be a rock for you. So you can kind of visualize it in that way.
Here's an example I want to give. Somebody for instance, my partner has a fierce loyalty to his family. How will I ever compete with that? You won't. Here's the issue. That's what we call a setup for failure. So when we talk about a fierce loyalty, what does that mean? Does that mean no one's allowed to speak, have an opinion, say anything, disagree, right? Like once again, like what is the unspoken rules of this family? We've talked about this concept before, the idea of a rubber fence family. And rubber fence boundaries are, is it looks like there is a fence that is open. Let's pretend that you're like looking at a field of sheep. I don't fucking know. We're just talking about sheep. Okay. You see this field and it looks like you could walk or jump over the fence or come through the fence or whatever. The issue with the rubber fence is that you go in and it fucking springs you back. It looks like you're welcome in, but you're not actually. And often families are like that, especially when we marry into them. At first, it's like, these people are so amazing. They're so wonderful. And that's great if they are. And then sometimes you're not actually welcome in.
Right.
And you might see stuff like this, like let's say they're not willing to add you into a family group chat, or they're not willing to invite you into certain things, or there's certain stuff that only blood gets to go to, or only certain people that have certain opinions about stuff. Right? Or only some people are allowed to speak in certain ways. And so you might notice some of these things, and that would be a good thing to look at. But I think the thing you can say to your partner is, I'm really worried about this. Here are the things that makes me worried about. Here are the things it brings up for me. And if they cannot hear that, if they cannot see you, the question is, when do you leave your family and make family with me?
Right.
And for a lot of people, this is a very hard concept. And we are in couples therapy. We say to someone, well, actually, you're supposed to make a new family. People like freak the fuck out. That is so hard for people to hear, especially if you have if you have a mom who has bad boundaries. But what I should say is if you have parents that have bad boundaries, but how interesting that my automatic was about a mom. I truly apologize for that. As a mother myself, I'm so sorry for shitting on us. But let's say that you have parents who have difficulty with boundaries, or parents who have made their children their whole world, or parents who have these ideas about what we owe to one another. All of this can go into it.
Yeah. The fierce loyalty piece, I would want to know what that means. Like, what does that mean in the family? Once again, is it this romanticized version of fusion? Once I have this loyalty. And therefore I am loyal to them over you. What does that look like? What and it just sounds like there's going to have to be a transition point, like you were saying. Did you know that billions of plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles end up in landfills every year? I used to contribute to that waste, constantly buying single-use plastic cleaning products without giving it much thought. But then I discovered Blue Land, and it has been a game changer. Blue Land has helped me eliminate the need for single-use plastic and the products I reach for the most. They are reinventing cleaning essentials. Their approach is simple yet revolutionary. Refillable cleaning products with a sleek design that not only looks great on your counter, but also reduces plastic waste significantly. What I love most is the convenience. With Blue Land, I never worry about running out of cleaning supplies or lugging bulky bottles from the store. From hand soap to toilet bowl cleaner to laundry tablets that each smell incredible, all Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. I was blown away when I received my first Blue Land order. I immediately filled the bottles with water and their tablets, which was so easy to try everything out. And the ingredients are clean, the scents are refreshing, and the packaging is just so cute. Blue Land is trusted in over 1 million homes, including mine. If you're ready to make a positive change for the planet without sacrificing cleanliness or convenience, Blue Land has you covered. Blue Land has a special offer for our listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
A really fun fact about me that you might not know is that if I let my hair dry natural, it is a frizzball mess, which is one of the many reasons I absolutely love Prose. I truly never thought that I would be able to embrace my natural hair texture. Ever since I switched to a custom hair routine with Prose, I've noticed so many benefits. Less frizzy hair, yes, but beyond that too. My hair is shinier, healthier, and so much more manageable. Filming the podcast every week makes checking out my hair unavoidable, and I have felt so much more confident on camera thanks to Prose. Prose is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do. The custom shampoo and conditioner combo, plus the hydrating leave-in conditioner and hair oil, keeps the frizz at bay. It also makes for the smoothest blowout. People keep asking me if I got my hair cut or went to the salon, which is, of course, the highest compliment. Prose isn't just better for you, it's better for the planet. They're certified B Corp cruelty-free and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. They even have a review and refine tool which learns from my feedback and adjusts my formula to keep up with the seasons and changes in my life. I used this feature when I moved my temporary house in New Jersey back to my house post-construction project in Pennsylvania. Environmental factors like water source is something that Prose takes into consideration with their customization. So it was very cool that I had the ability to update my location. Prose is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin, and they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at prose.com/shrinkchicks. So you get a free consultation, then 50% off at prose.com/shrinkchicks. That's prose.com/shrinkchicks.
How to know what's mine and what's theirs emotion-wise?
Ooh.
I love this question because I wonder if this person came from a family that had a very low level of differentiation. Mm. And also, this is just a kind of sticking point, that we tend to find partners at the same level of differentiation as we have ourselves. And, you know, that's because it feels familiar to us, right? We have developed a familiarity with a level of differentiation in our own families, and we tend to find partners who are on the same level of differentiation. But once again, back to the question, how do I know what's mine and what's theirs? For you to be able to really sit by yourself, separate from other people, with your own emotions, really get to know yourself, understand your emotions, sit down with a feelings wheel, right? How am I feeling right now? If you're asking yourself that question and your mind's going to, well, I'm feeling sad because they blank, 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 right? See how much that train of thought is coming up in your mind. I feel sad because they feel sad, right? Like I'm hurt because they're hurt. How much is that coming up for you? And I want you to practice, when you are separated from other people, asking yourself over and over and over again, how am I feeling about this right now? How am I feeling about this right now? It's very possible that you never developed that muscle, right? That it was, there was such an emotional fusion in your family that it was difficult to figure out whose emotions are whose. So this is a muscle that you'll have to develop where you walk around the world and you say, well, how am I feeling about this? What is this like for me? And slowly but surely, that muscle will start to build and build and build. So that you can, when you are in the situation, when you are with family members that are less differentiated, you're going to be able to more quickly say, well, this is how I feel. And then this is how they feel, or mm-hmm. this is what I'm saying they feel. This is just a side note. I got a new Apple Watch because my other one was, you know, very old. This Apple Watch asks me how I'm feeling.
It does. Yes. Mine just tells me to get the fuck up. What the hell?
Mine does that too.
Wait, why? Why is mine bullying me? I'm not sure. And yours is checking in on
mine. Also bullies me, but it also checks it. We have like a toxic relationship. You know, it'll be like, stand up, bitch. And then I'm like, no. And then it's like, how are you feeling? And I'm like, angry. You know, so we have like
not good.
So we have like a battle, but it's. You know, it's nice that it checks in on me. Usually it's like, reflect on how you're feeling today. And I'm like, no. And I like hit it and I'm like, go away. But it's nice that it has that functionality because it forces you to check in with yourself to say, well, how am I feeling today? And then it tracks it over time. Mm-hmm. So I just think, you know, whether it's a watch or whether you're writing it down in a notebook or you have something that reminds you every day to check in with yourself is going to be really important because it helps you, once again, build that muscle.
Yeah. I mean, I think about this is to think about in who in your life you have the least level of differentiation with.
Yeah.
And then every time they're having big feelings, what is it like to check in on yourself first? And I feel this a lot with my daughter. When she's having big feelings, especially when her and my husband go at it, it's hard for me to, one, not get involved. And two, I can like feel myself like siding with one of them as opposed to being like, this is their shit. They have to figure it out. Now, part of that is because my daughter is really quick to say, Mom! Because she's five. And what five-year-olds do is, and what a lot of us do is called splitting. So I split the two parents. I split the two people to get what I need or to get my needs met in some way. And I think that it's hard for me to say whatever your dad says goes. And a part of it is because my level of differentiation with her is lower. And it's really hard for me to put that on that. It's hard for me to not be protective and to really hold on to myself.
Yeah. That makes sense. I think the hardest place for me is probably with my partner. When yes. if like he's stressed out or struggling with something, I have had to really say to myself, like, okay, what do I need to do for myself in order to be able to support him? Once again, if you think about the lifesaver, right? Because if yeah. I get sucked down with him, I'm not going to be able to be supportive and because I won't be taking care of myself, right? Yeah. I would be struggling. It brings me right in. And I think that that's something that comes up in a lot of relationships too, right? Like when your partner's struggling, and we have this idea, if my partner's struggling, the only way to support them is to like also struggle with them or to like feel it with them. Like that's kind of our idea of empathy. But you can be empathetic towards your partner and also hold on to yourself.
Mm.
Right? And empathy.
Can you give an example of that?
So
what would that look like?
So for example, my partner comes home, they're really stressed. Me being pulled in with it with like a lower level of differentiation is I start getting stressed, right? My anxiety starts going off like, oh my God, they're so stressed. What am I going to do? You know, I need to make sure that like the environment's okay so that they're not stressed. You get like pulled, sucked right into it.
Yeah.
To be like, it's my responsibility to make sure.
Caretaking.
It's my responsibility to make sure the environment is good or that they're not stressed. Right. So you're taking responsibility for their emotional state to say, I need to make sure that they're okay. Right. That's not empathy. That's a low level of differentiation. And so for you to be able to say, my partner's stressed, like empathy is for you to hold on to yourself and be like, okay, I recognize that I'm getting a little anxious about this. I'm going to ground myself. I'm going to say, okay, this is their stuff. They're an adult. They can take care of themselves. For you to hold on to yourself and say, hey, let me know if I can help support you in any way. right? Let me know if there's anything I can do to help support you. I'm going to go keep doing what I'm doing. You know, like, let's get dinner together. It's your ability to hold on to yourself in the face of someone else's stress.
Yeah. It's that is this phrase we've talked about before, which is helping is the happy side of control. Oh. If I'm helping, it's happy, it's nice, it's lovely. Everyone gets to say how helpful I am, but it's also control.
Yeah.
It's not a crazy control. Nobody really calls it out for what it is, but helping is the happy side of control.
Yeah.
And it also doesn't allow other people to learn the skills that they need to learn to have the ability to do what they need to do.
Yes. And I think that's something to ask yourself, right? Like, whether you're with a friend, you're with a partner, like, does your mind, and it might be so automatic that you're not even realizing that it's happening. Does your mind start going into, like, what do I need to do to make sure they're okay? Right?
Yeah.
To make sure they're happy, to make sure they're good. It's not your responsibility. And you actually, as you're saying, do not have control over that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We have this kind of false sense of control of, if I do something or if I take responsibility for their emotion, I'm going to be able to change it in some way. And that's actually not true. Mm-mm. Right? It's their job to be able to self-soothe, take care of themselves, and your job to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
So that you can better support each other.
I like this one. How do I separate what society says I should do versus what feels right for me? For example, society says to spend X amount of time with family while you can, but I can only tolerate less.
It's interesting. Well, let's talk about that real quick.
Okay.
Because does society say you have, right, society says, like, oh, they're family, blah, blah, blah. But I wonder where that messaging is actually coming from.
I have a guess.
Tell us.
Family of origin. Yes.
Like, it.
I mean, or cultural components, yes, of family, yeah, of origin would be what I'd, yeah, say. Yeah.
So, yeah, how much is expected, how much time is expected of you from your family of origin,
yeah,
or from those cultural components?
And also, this is one of those ways that we can really borrow an idea from the queer community, which is really chosen family. I think something that, although possibly very difficult for those folks that aren't welcomed by their families, I would fucking imagine, the ability to choose your family, to choose who you spend the holidays with, yeah, right? I think that's really difficult when you don't have, like, a bad. We almost have this idea that everything has to be horrible. It's like we have this idea. It's either a mesh all the fucking time or cut,
yeah,
off. And the idea of, like, okay, well, like, my family isn't bad, right? Like, my family's always been fine to me and good to me. What do I owe them? And that ends up being a philosophical idea about what do I believe we owe to one another?
Yes.
And I think we have a lot of ideas around that. But I do think for some of us, it's like almost like because it's not bad enough, right? People say this in marriage. We hear this all the time in couples counseling. Well, it's not that bad. He's a really nice guy. Well, she's great. She's a great mom. And it's like, okay, that's lovely. It's so lovely. And we can sit here and have a nice off all fucking day. But people have this idea that they can't leave something unless it's like abuse.
Right.
And that's not necessarily true.
Right. Someone said, when my partner is socially anxious, I get anxious. I don't like it and I'm not normally anxious. So it sounds like you go out with your partner's struggling. Once again, it sounds like you feel like it's your responsibility to make sure that your partner's not anxious. So this is going to take a lot of grounding in the moment for you to say, okay, my partner's socially anxious. They're going to anticipate the fact that they're going to feel anxious when you go out. For you to say, like, okay, I can take care of myself. I, you know, as your mind is going into the anxiety and your mind is going into, oh, I hope they're not anxious, or I hope they're talking to someone. I hope they're, right? Ground yourself to say, okay, wait, this is not my responsibility. Right? I can take care of myself. They can take care of themselves and all will be okay. In the end, your partner can be socially anxious and no one's going to die.
Even if it feels like it.
Even if it feels like it, you can go to a party. There can be a bunch of awkward moments. No one's going to die.
Yeah.
It's going to be uncomfortable. Part of socializing is uncomfortable moments.
Yeah. I also, a lot of times folks that are in relationships that they end up being the overfunctioner, it's because someone else isn't getting care for the anxiety they have.
Yes. Yeah.
So what happens with your partner when they get anxious? What's the context around this, right? Can you not walk away from them? Do they start telling you how anxious they are? Do they stop talking? Do they shut down? Does that make you uncomfortable? Do you get embarrassed, right? Like, what starts to happen? What's the dynamic that happens in this interaction? And then how do you respond, react to that?
I like what you said there, Em, about like, are you getting embarrassed? And I wonder if, right? Because that would be your emotion yep. that's coming up. And I wonder, are you focusing so much on their anxiety and what they're going through rather than what emotion is coming up for you and what you're going through? So see if you can get underneath the anxiety that's coming up for you to say, well, what emotion is this bringing up for me?
One more question that we have, dear Imogen.
Okay.
Is my desire for external validation from my family, friends connected to this at all?
Yes. Easy.
Okay. Dear okay.
And
yes,
easy.
It is.
Yes, it is. Okay. Dear Imogen. Okay. Dear Imogen, I've been a longtime listener of your podcast, and I've really enjoyed watching you both grow into yourselves over time. Thank you. You have such gentle and thoughtful perspectives, and I am in a place where I really, really need your insight. I've been with my boyfriend for 2 years now. We both turned 30 this year and knew pretty quickly that this was going to be long-term. We've both had our fair share of relationship gone wrong and immediately recognized the kindness and care of maturity in the other. I have to say, we have had a beautiful relationship thus far, and I can't imagine a life without him. A few months ago, my boyfriend's dad unexpectedly died. Both of our families live in different states, so naturally his death came with a lot of shock and a lot of guilt from my boyfriend on not being there and not spending enough time with him. My boyfriend's family, strangely, everyone except him and his dad, is overall very closed off. He feels like he has to be the strong one around his family and really just won't lean on his mom and sister at all. He doesn't really know anyone who's lost a parent. And while I have, he's not open to really talking to anyone. I know it's early and maybe over time he will get there, but right now it's not an option. Me, being a fixer who works in a helping profession, I'm a nurse, I have no fucking idea what I'm doing. I listen when he talks, stay up with him when he can't sleep. I've started doing his laundry, all the cooking, keeping the house clean. These were previously responsibilities we split pretty evenly. I keep all of his favorite snacks and treats stocked too. I'm reading up on grief and trying to educate myself on what he may or may not be experiencing as much as I can. And I knew he would do all of this for me too, and he has, and he helped me through a long, deep depression not too long ago. I'd do anything for him truly, but I'm hurting too. I'm scared about how things are changing for us. I'm worried we're going to be pushing each other away. I hold back so much. I'm so careful not to make him more upset. But I just feel ill-equipped for this. I feel like I'm losing myself and him all at once. Oh, this makes me cry. And I can't share this with him because his whole world is crashing around him. He constantly tells me that he feels like he's being a bad partner. And no matter what I say, it always seems to make him feel worse. The person I love more than anything in the world needs me, and I feel like no matter what I do, I'm failing him. Oh God, this is heartbreaking. The other part, and the part I feel most guilty about, is that we plan on getting engaged this year. I know it's not a priority. I'm not expecting it, but I'm definitely struggling with knowing that starting that life I was hoping for with marriage and kids is getting pushed back when I finally was so ready for it and with someone who was ready for that too. It feels silly in comparison, and I feel stupid for even feeling that way. But it creeps into my mind now, and then I don't know exactly what I'm asking for. I guess just perspective and insight. Thank you so much. Oof.
Okay. The number one thing I'm hearing from all this is two people in a relationship who hold themselves to unbelievably unfair standards. This happened a few months ago. There is absolutely nothing wrong with what's happening. It is absolutely nothing wrong with everyone taking time here. And there's also nothing wrong with you wanting to be engaged and have this other stuff too, right? It's like two people who are clearly so fucking amazing and it sounds like a really wonderful fit together who just want to do something to make it different. And that is the worst part about grief. Grief is sitting in the discomfort. And what I'm hearing is, what else can I do? What else can I do? Because of course, that's what we want to do with grief. We want to fix. We want to make better. You have snacks. You clean the house. You do all of these amazing, amazing things for this person. And the grief will still exist. And so the question is, what do we do to tolerate sitting in that grief? Because it's very difficult. I would imagine sitting in your boyfriend's grief is very challenging for you. Because it would be challenging for anyone.
I think sitting in grief, right? It's a very uncomfortable thing to do. And I also want to highlight, right? Like, I think that there's so much support around someone who is grieving, right? Like someone who has lost their dad, has lost, you know, anyone close to them. But it affects the entire system. You know, it also affects your relationship. It's impossible for it to not affect the relationship and to affect you, right? This is part of it. And, you know, you mentioned, I feel silly for like being sad about the fact that we're not going to get engaged. Like,
oh, it's not silly.
It's not silly at all. And you're still allowed to have your feelings. It might be the case that it's not the time to talk through it in your relationship, yeah. But just because it's not the time to talk through it doesn't mean that your feelings are silly. But your relationship right now is going through a huge transition. This is a transition. And in any relationship, you are going to go through that. This could have happened 10 years into the future and it still would have been the same thing. This is part of being in a relationship, is kind of going through these really, really hard times and getting through them together. It sounds to me like you care about your partner so much. You're doing everything you possibly can to support them. And to just know this is a transition period. It might be the case that this will forever change your partner, right? This is a pain. It's a trauma. Losing someone is really, really hard, especially when it's unexpected like this. And so as difficult as this time period is, your relationship will adjust. Will it go back to exactly what it was? Probably not. But that doesn't mean you're not going to be able to build something different and something new. It's just that this just happened and it's going to take time for your relationship to adjust. So be patient with yourselves and stop putting so much pressure on yourself to make this change, to be perfect, to this is hard and it's hard for anyone. And so give yourself grace and also take care of yourself in this time period.
Yeah. I want to give a quick shout out to an organization we often refer to, which is called The Dinner Party. And it's dinnerparty.org. It's a community of 21 to 45 year olds who have each experienced the loss of a parent, partner, child, sibling, close family member, or close friend. And basically what they do is their big thing is you joined a club that nobody ever wants to join. You feel totally separate from people. You sign up for this, you can get matched with someone. They have virtual dinner parties. They have in-person dinner parties. If you are feeling alone, feeling freaked out, feeling like it happened suddenly, and you're looking for some type of support, the dinner party is a great option to check out as well.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode of Shrink Chicks.
We'll see you back here next Monday for another session.
In the meantime, if you want a question answered or a topic discussed, follow us on Instagram at Shrink Chicks. And if you're looking to get connected with a therapist like us to start or continue your therapeutic journey, visit thetherapygroup.com. Just fill out a contact form on our website and we will personally match you with one of our amazing therapists.
Also, if you'd be so kind, we'd love a rating review and for you to share with a friend or an enemy or a mother-in-law. Honestly, whoever needs it, so that we can keep reaching more people on our mission to bring mental health topics to your ears every week.
Thanks for being here with us. And don't forget to grow yourself. You gotta know yourself.